Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Morning, it's lovely to be with you again today. This week is the last week in our series of Lessons from Lockdown. I was really privileged on the 2nd of August to start the series sharing lessons that I've learnt on thankfulness and promises. And I took you on a journey through the first 12 chapters of Genesis, leading up to God leaving his people with the sign of a rainbow, a promise to everybody that he would never again flood the whole earth. The following week, Max spoke to you from the book of Kings about God who'd been teaching him about being still and silent and being able to hear that still small voice. Vanda's lesson then taught us that God is in control, and she spoke to us from the books of 2 Timothy and Revelation. God is our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and our end, and the whole Bible is the inspired word of God. Last week we had Max again and he spoke to us about diversity and about how God's kingdom welcomes everybody and our response needs us to act justly and to walk humbly. And the passage he chose from Corinthians about us all being part of the body of Christ really spoke to me. We aren't all the same and we're not designed to be the same. And I also wonder how you got on with the challenge that Max left us last week. The challenge to seek somebody out who's different to you. I have to admit I have failed spectacularly at that challenge, as this week I've not spoken to a single person I didn't know already. However, just because I failed this week doesn't mean I can't try again. So next week I can see if I can do that challenge. And then today our readings come from the books of Ecclesiastes and the books of Romans. The passage we heard from Romans 12 really complements the passage last week Max shared from 1 Corinthians 12, where the body is made of many parts, and not every part is the same, but every part is needed. 1 Corinthians 12 says, "If the foot says because it is not a hand, it doesn't belong to the body, it doesn't cease to be part of the body." And in verse 19, "If we are all one part, where would the body be?" In the reading we've heard from Romans 12, if we look at verse 4 of Romans 12, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others." How amazing is that? We are all members of the same body. We all have a part to play. We are all needed. 1 Corinthians 12 asks us, "If we are all eyes, where would the sense of hearing be?" We're all one body. We have different parts. We are all needed. Romans 12 verse 6 goes on to say, "We all have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Our church needs each one of us to use the gifts we've been given. It also needs us to not try and do everything on our own. It needs us to trust the other parts of the body, that they will do their job so we can concentrate on doing our job. One lesson I've certainly learnt at work from lockdown is I don't need to do everything myself. It's okay at times to say no, and it's okay to pass things on to others to do. This has been really true in my role as a head teacher, with so many people looking up to me for the answer and to look for me for leadership. It's been easy to fall into the trap of thinking that I have to do everything myself. During lockdown, I've had more time working from home. And I've had to trust the school into the hands of my deputies. And you know what? School is still standing. My deputies have done their job. Okay, they may not have done it in the way that I would have done it. But does that matter? The job has been done. They've had the responsibility, they've taken it, and they've run with it. And I've learnt to trust them and let them run with it. Romans 12 verse 3 says, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself in sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." And another thing I found during lockdown is that actually I've had more time. I've had more time to think, more time to be with the family, more time to read the Bible. And time makes me think of the passage from Ecclesiastes which we had read to us earlier. In the NIV version it says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them in, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." These first 8 verses are really poetic. And the 28 events span the whole range of human activities, both personal and corporate, and they are opposing pairs. And to me, they're a beautiful depiction of God's absolute control of events under heaven. Now, the next few verses that come after that, I'm going to read in several different translations of the Bible. Those of us who've started the Bible course on a Wednesday evening know there are lots of different translations of the Bible. Some are literal translations, some are equivalent translations, and some are paraphrases. And I find that reading the same passage in several different versions help me to get different layers of meaning. Verses 9 to 14 in the NIV sound like this. "What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He's made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so people will fear him." Now the message is a paraphrase and the same verses in the message sound like this. "But in the end, does it really make a difference what anyone does? I've had a good look at what God has given us to do. Busy work mostly. True, God made everything beautiful in itself and in its time, but he's left us in the dark so we can never know what God is up to, whether he's coming or going. I've decided there's nothing better to do than go ahead and have a good time and get the most we can out of life. That's it. Eat and drink and make the most of your job. It's God's gift. I've concluded that whatever God does, that's the way it's going to be, always. No addition, no subtraction. God's done it and that's it. So that's so we'll quit asking questions and simply worship in holy fear. Or again, if we listen to it from the Living Bible. What does one really get from hard work? I've thought about this in connection with all the various kinds of work God has given to mankind. Everything is appropriate in its own time. But though God has planted eternity in the hearts of men, even so, many cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So I conclude that first, there is nothing better for a man than to be happy and to enjoy himself as long as he can. And second, he should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of his labour, for these are the gifts of God. And I know this, that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added or taken from it. God's purpose in this is that man should fear the all-powerful God. Now, the Street Bible has been described as like a tabloid newspaper. And the same passage in the Street Bible sounds like this. Where's the payoff? What's the point? All this back-breaking, brain-aching work that people go day in, day out. Why? God sets seasons for everything. At the right time, everything can work. But he's also programmed us with huge questions of life, the universe and everything, echoing around our brains. But we can't know. How can we? It's way too deep. Like trying to get to the bottom of the ocean when all we've been given is a plastic snorkel and flippers. Where's all this got me? What am I sure of? I know the best thing is for people to be content and do good things while they're alive. For someone to be able to eat, drink and enjoy their job is a gift from God. What God does lasts long after we've snuffed it. What he does can't be talked up or down. It stays permanent. And he does all this to win our respect. You know, the bits from those different translations that really stand out for me. For someone to eat and drink and enjoy their job is a gift from God. And God's done it, so we worship him in holy fear. There's a time for everything. Is now our time for our church to become more diverse, as Max was talking about last week? Is now the time for all of us to use the gifts we've been given? Is now the time for us as a church to get to grips more with God's word? And if you think it is and it's time for you to get to know more of the Bible, it's not too late to contact Max to sign up for the Bible course. I'm pleased there's a time for everything. A time for order and a time for chaos. Usually, when I talk to you, I go through the Bible passage verse by verse. But today I started in the book of Romans and I started going backwards. And then I've moved to Ecclesiastes and I'm going to finish by going back to the book of Romans. But I want to look at those first few verses of Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. What images come to your mind when you read this verse? The Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Romans, was a Jew who understood the cost of sacrifice. To him, it meant the death of sheep, bulls and goats, and then ultimately the death of Jesus. And you can read about sacrifices in the book of Leviticus. But in this verse, God calls his children to present their bodies, their lives, as living sacrifices. And Paul compares the dead temple sacrifices to the living sacrifices made by believers who are willing to deny themselves, to deny their own wants, their own needs, their own desires, and instead choosing thy will be done on earth and really meaning it. The American evangelist D.L. Moody is credited with saying, "The problem with a living sacrifice is it can crawl off the altar." What does that mean? Well, when troubles arise and worry and fear consume us, we forget to trust God and we crawl off. When our plans don't succeed and we question God's faithfulness, we crawl off. While the disappointments of life cause us to doubt God's love, we crawl off. So how do we present our lives as a living sacrifice, and how do we stay put? And Romans 12 verse 1 began with the word therefore. A previous rector of Bedhampton, John Risdon, taught me that when you come across the word therefore in the Bible, you need to look back and see what the word is there for. So when Paul starts Romans 12 with the word therefore, he's referring back to the first 11 chapters of Romans. And in those we learn why we should present our lives on God's altar, in view of God's mercy, considering all that God has done for us, having once been objects of his wrath. God, in this present evil age, is showing mercy to mankind, to Jews and to Gentiles. And Paul ends chapter 11 with a prayer of praise that expresses his uncontained gratitude for God's mercy. And this is often called the doxology. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord, or has been his counsellor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory for ever. Amen. And having sent up this praise offering, Paul begins chapter 12 by saying, therefore, because of all that I've stated regarding God's mercy, we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And that is our spiritual act of worship. It's the least we can do in the light of all that Christ has done for us. And Paul then cautions us not to conform to the pattern of the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. And the Greek word for conform has its roots in the word scheme, as in a plan or a method or a system. So this verse means we're not to allow this world to force us to think and behave according to its plans and methods. So how do we do that? There are no shortcuts. It requires self-denial. In other words, it requires doing what doesn't come naturally, but intentionally doing what we will to overcome our natural sinful tendencies. By making time in our lives for disciplined prayer, reading and meditating on God's word, we are transformed into God's heavenly pattern. So what's my lesson from lockdown been this week? There's a right time for everything. We are all individuals and we all have a part to play in the body of Christ. We also need to be prepared to be a living sacrifice, to deny our own wants, and to put God first in all that we do. And my prayer this week, Father, I pray that you would grant me a faith that cannot be shaken. Help me to lay my life willingly on the altar of God and to stay put. Amen. And as you go into this week, may God bless you.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.